today on Anchored in the Word.
I'm going to talk to you about that this morning because here's the reality of what we're going to talk about and what we're going to look into in this chapter 20 is that you get to choose. You get to choose. You have the privilege of choice. You get to choose. And the second part of that is you get what you choose. You see the difference in that? You get to choose and you get what you choose.
But I'm anchored deep in your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord. I know you're with me.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Deciding to choose to be a Christian is very personal. It's a choice only you have the power to make. In today's message, Pastor Bill teaches about the final judgment. Will we live and reign with God, or will we ultimately be cast into the lake of fire? It's a choice only you can make. So what will you choose? At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now, here's Pastor Bill with today's study.
If you've got your Bibles with you today, we are in the book of Revelation, we're in chapter 20. We'll pick it up in verse 7 this morning as we continue through the Bible. We're almost to the end. My Bible only has a page and a half left till the end of the Bible. And then we'll go back and start at the beginning. So this is exciting, right? I think this is our second time through the New Testament, I think. Anyway, Revelation 20, starting in verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years had expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I want to talk to you today about this idea of your privilege and your responsibility as a human being, as a created being. According to the Bible, you have been created. It tells us all about this in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. You've been created by the living God. This God has always existed. He has existed from the beginning. He never had a beginning, so he has always existed. For some reason, we don't know why, other than maybe he's just loving and wanted to love, he created us, the human beings. He had angels that he created. Human beings came along, and it's his universe. He created us, and in the doing of this, he has given us, and not every created thing. I don't think trees have choices. They're created. I don't think the animals really have a choice for this thing, but human beings, angels, we have been given the privilege of choosing, of making choices. And I'm going to talk to you about that this morning because here's the reality of what we're going to talk about and what we're going to look into in this chapter 20 is that You get to choose. You get to choose. You have the privilege of choice. You get to choose. And the second part of that is, you get what you choose. You see the difference in that? You get to choose, and you get what you choose. And we're going to see that today. We're going to see the culmination, the end of choices that were made by people and even by angels, and the end thereof. And it's good for us, a look into the future, because we all make choices every single day. Some more weighty than others, right? Some more important than others, but we make choices all the time. But choices do have a consequence attached to them. You will reap what you sow, the Bible says. But you get to choose, but you get what you choose. Now, as we look at chapter 20, starting in verse 7, we'll see something here in verse 7. It says, "Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison." 1,000-year sentence. Can you imagine that? 1,000-year prison sentence he had. But what about the 1,000 years? We talked about this last week. If you weren't here, I encourage you to get the DVD, or you can get it online. We don't have DVDs. You can get the CD here, but you can listen to it online. But we talked about this 1,000-year period called the millennial reign, the kingdom, when Jesus is going to happen after he comes down to earth, the second coming. We talked about this. I'm backing up now. After the 7-year tribulation period, we've covered that. Then Jesus is going to come back to earth. And by the way, if you're a Christian here today, you will be with him on a white horse following him into Jerusalem there. He's going to set up his kingdom there for 1,000 years. And we talked about that from different places in the Bible, from the book of Isaiah chapter 11. It talks about a little bit about what the kingdom's going to look like. There's going to be peace there in that 1,000-year period. You know, people have been saying, peace on earth. You know, peace, we need peace. Well, it's going to be there, finally. Amen. Because the government's going to be a peaceful government. It's going to be a perfect government in the sense that the leader of the government is perfect, Jesus. And don't expect a perfect government until he sets his up on earth. And it's going to be 1,000 years. And one of the things it tells us in Isaiah is that little children or animals are not going to be eating each other anymore. They're going to go back to eating the grass and such. Tigers will eat grass, and they're going to get along with one another. And it says the little child will lead them. There's going to be no more fear of man on the animals. There's going to be those of you that always wanted to have an exotic pet. You'll be able to pet the animals. There won't be a need for a zoo anymore. Let them go. You know, let them go around. They're not going to hurt anybody, and you can just pet animals. It's going to be, you pet lovers, it's going to be a great time for you, animal lovers. Now, it's going to be great. 1,000 years of that. And what makes it great, no deception coming from the enemy there. He's been put, we just read about what happened to him. He got 1,000-year sentence, and he was put, it says there, verse 2 of this chapter says, he laid hold of the dragon and the angel, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up. I like that. They finally shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. So we get to verse 7, and the 1,000 years are finished. By the way, 1,000 years is a long time, isn't it? 1,000 years. And, you know, this country's only existed for 240 years at this point in time. And that's a quarter of 1,000, not even a fourth of 1,000. 1,000 years is a long time. By the way, by the Bible, the dating of the Bible, the genealogy is probably this earth, according to what the scriptures teach us, probably 6,000 years old, something like that. So that's a long time. I mean, people say, I'm an old earther. Well, 6,000 years is that's old earth as far as I'm concerned. That's a long time. But we're not here to talk about that. But you're looking at this and you're thinking, what? Satan's going to be released from his prison? And you know, God makes choices all the time, right? And he makes, the difference between God and us is that his choices are always perfect. He does all things well. So we know that there's a purpose behind this that's beyond us, because I got to tell you something, you're thinking, when bad people get let out of prison, good things don't happen, right? I mean, generally speaking, that is what happens. And sure enough, we see it. Now, again, this is yet future. It hasn't happened yet. And I want to just say this to you about Satan, because some might say, that's a pretty stiff sentence, 1,000 years. Well, listen, speaking of choices, the book of Isaiah chapter 14 tells us just how Satan got to be who he is. Because he didn't start out that way. He did not start that way. But he's going to have a bad finish because of some choices that he made. Now, we know from Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15, I'm going to read that to you right now. Speaking about Satan, this is what it says in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregations on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And as a result of his prideful attitude, yeah, apparently angels can have pride too. And he thought, in being in heaven and seeing God, it wasn't enough just to be God's angel. It wasn't enough to be in the position that God gave him to serve God, to do the biddings of God, to be a messenger of God. Some believe he was a worship leader in heaven, you know, this beautiful cherub. But whatever he was, he fell. Pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. That's true on earth and it's true in heaven. Because he fell. And he took a third of the stars of the angels with him, it tells us. But it's interesting to me to see that this pride, the ultimate pride, is I will be above the heavens. I will be like the Most. I'm going to be God. He wanted to be God. He wasn't content with who he was, who he was. And pride lifted him up, and pride takes you low, and it took him down. And the thing about him is, he still believes that he's somebody. He's still trying to be somebody. And I like what somebody said one time as a man was sharing with us. I think it was at a couple's retreat. And he says, you know, you get to that place as a Christian where you realize you stop trying to be somebody. And I thought, wow, that's huge. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Because there's still people going around trying to be somebody. You know, trying to be somebody, that idea of trying to be somebody. And Satan was trying to be somebody that he wasn't. And he fell from heaven. And you know, he's still trying to be somebody that he's not. He still believes, you know, we've got the ending right here. You know, we don't know who's going to be in the lake of fire. We don't see any names but his. We know he's going to be there. So here's what we know about Satan. He is not going to repent. He's not going to turn from being what he started, what he was in Isaiah 14. He's not going to change. So some of you asked me in the past, should we be praying for Satan? You know, no. He's not going to change. Now, did he have the ability to change? Could he change? In other words, think about that. 1,000 years in prison. Not a lot to do in prison, you know, when you're in prison. A lot of time to think. 1,000 years. You figure 1,000 years. Maybe he had time to think. Consider what he did, where he came from what height he'd fallen. And consider the wrongness of it. You know, three of the hardest words to say for me, especially with my wife, don't laugh because you're in the same boat probably. I was wrong. Those three words go down really hard. I was wrong. At times, I was wrong. Because of the pride of man. To admit that you're wrong. We'll go through great lengths to explain, to rationalize how we're not wrong. Let me tell you why I'm not wrong. I get this great argument. And God just saying, just admit that you're wrong, then I can do something with it, you know? That's what repentance is. You must admit you're wrong. God's always right. And there's times when we're wrong, and we got to get right with him. And the devil is 1,000 years, and here's what happens when he comes out. Verse 8, it says, he will go out to deceive the nations. That's what he got in there for. For trying to take other people down with him. You know, he's a great deceiver. He deceived people in the garden, Adam and Eve, right? Deceived them into the same lie. Isn't it interesting? You can be like God. You can be like God. If you disobey what he told you to do, you can be like him. Listen, just for the record, in case this is cloudy in your mind, You will never, ever attain godhood. Never. People don't attain that. There's only one God. And he's doing well. There's no term limits with him. He doesn't die. He's always existed. He's perfect at what he does. So he's going to stay that way as God. That's not open to anybody becoming God. Now, I know the lie's still out there. There's some people that believe that. They actually say things like, I am God. I mean, some wacky people say that. They just don't know who God is if they think they're God. But there are some people that teach you can attain godhood, you know, and all this. Well, you can't. You're a created being. You had a beginning. Now, the interesting thing about humans, and apparently angels, they have no end. See, you're a created soul, but you go on for all eternity. And the choices you make will determine where you spend eternity. So Satan made some bad choices. And he's still making bad choices. He's going to go out, it says, and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now, remember, in the thousand-year period, now, we believe that everybody that went into the millennial reign believed in Christ, okay? Martyr for their faith, some people. But somehow, and this is one of those connect-the-dots things that I'm in my mind, I'm still, but here's what we believe is that the people that came in were obedient, and then there were people born, because these are in their mortal bodies now. The saints come back in their glorified bodies, right? So we're not capable to sin anymore. Yeah, that's right. Praise God for that. We're not going to be able to, in the glorified body, we're all about Christ and God. We're lined up with his will. But now there's 1,000 years. Some people believe that people are going to live 1,000 years old in that. You know, in one place in the Psalms, it says that a child will die at 100. You know, in other words, at 100, a child will die. In other words, thinking about this long lifespan, it's certainly not unprecedented. Before the flood, people lived. There's some that lived almost 1,000 years. But either way of that, there will be a lot of children born in 1,000 years because they will still, you know, people are human and they'll still be procreating. Now, because you wonder, where did these rebels come from that don't believe? Where did they come from? Well, they came from the offspring. It makes sense to me. It fits. There will be a lot of them. And just like your children, they're not born into the kingdom. They're not born Christians. You know, some people, I ask them, how long have you been a Christian? My whole life. Uh-oh, red flag. That's not possible. That's not how it works. Just because you're Christians, your family were Christians, that doesn't mean you were born a Christian. Nobody's born a Christian. We're born quite the opposite of that. We're separated from God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then when we get to the age, there's an age of accountability, and you must then make a choice of what you're going to do with Jesus Christ. What you're going to do, you know, how you're going to handle your eternity. And so what we see here in verse 8, at the end of 1,000 years, after 1,000 years of peace, it's a reign that Jesus said in the Bible tells us he reigned with a rod of iron. He ruled with a rod of iron. That speaks to me. He didn't take up any nonsense. People were forced to stay in line. They were forced to stay in line. Now, there's a lot of people that went along with it because they wanted to. Some were forced to go along with it. And then it says when Satan was let out, he again went to deceive the nations and to tell them there's something better than bowing down to God, whatever it was. And the amazing thing about this is there were so many of them that went with him. It says, this is a big number, whose number is as the sand of the sea. That's a lot, the sand of the sea. That's a lot. And that's a term that's used in the Bible, one that you can't count. There's that many that rebel against Christ after 1,000 years of peace, after 1,000 years of prosperity, after 1,000 years of just a beautiful existence. God lets Satan out because what's going to happen now? He's going to reveal their hearts. Because you see, heaven, the new Jerusalem, there's not going to be any pretenders in there. There can't be any pretenders in the new Jerusalem. That's what's coming, by the way, in the next chapter. But God is going to get all the evil out of the world, out of the existence, deal with it all, so that the new Jerusalem could come, and everybody that the whosoever's will be in that new Jerusalem, that place where there's no more sin. That'll be the end of it. The final place, we'll get there to that final place. But They come from the four corners of the earth. Now, Gog and Magog, Gog is a name of a person, and Magog would be the people that follow their nations. We don't know who these people are for sure, but know this, there's a lot of them. That's what's important to understand. These armies that will come, and they are coming against God and Jesus himself, against his kingdom. They're coming against his kingdom. Somehow the devil has persuaded them, not just that this kingdom isn't a worthy kingdom, but that in their numbers, there's so many of them that certainly were powerful enough to overcome this kingdom. That's how stupid and deceived they were, that they can somehow outsmart God. That's what the devil is seeking to convince people of. You're smarter than God. You're smarter than that. This is a better plan. Your plan's a better plan. And they bought it, hook, line, and sinker. And verse 9 tells us, they went up by the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints. Now, the saints, of course, are Christians in their glorified bodies. And he says they surround the camp and the city, of course, their beloved city is Jerusalem. And God says, okay, enough of this. Not a shot is fired, you know. And it says, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Pretty simple, straightforward. Tell them the truth. Fire came down from heaven. By the way, this isn't the first time fire ever came down from heaven. That happens. Prophets have called fire down from heaven. And fire came down and just, it says, the word devoured them. And then it says, the devil who deceived them, make that clear, they were deceived because they chose, and this is how you get deceived, by the way. You need to hear this. When you choose to believe something or someone other than or contrary to the Word of God. Is that clear? When you choose to believe something that is other than or contrary to the Word of God. And this is important for us. That's why God's Word has to be our standard. We have to come to know Him and His Word because it'll let us see. We don't have to study every lie in the world. We don't have to study every false religion in the world. What we do is we study the truth, and then when something false comes in front of us, we'll see it like that. That's how we keep from being deceived, and not just knowing the Bible, but then walking it out in our lives. But they were deceived. But the devil finally is going to get his due. The devil, verse 10, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Yeah, this place, according to the Bible, is mentioned. Jesus talked more about this place than he did about heaven. It's real. It's called here a lake of fire and brimstone. This is the final, you could say, and I don't want to say resting place because there is no rest there. Torment is not rest. The final tormenting place, I guess we should call it.
Thanks so much for joining us here on Anchored in the Word. It's such a blessing to bring you this sound Bible teaching every day. It's our prayer that Anchored in the Word is being used by God to further the growth and discipleship you're already experiencing at your church. Perhaps you're listening today and you don't have a home church. The messages you hear from Pastor Bill here on Anchored in the Word are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. So, if today's message has blessed you and you don't have a home church, please join us for worship. For more information, log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to the church website. We encourage you to join us next time as Pastor Bill continues teaching verse by verse through the book of Revelation. To learn more about Anchored in the Word, Pastor Bill, or Calvary Chapel Coastlands, log on to www.anchoredintheword.com. There you'll find helpful tools that you can use as you study God's Word. Again, our web address is anchoredintheword.com. Social media is such a big part of our lives these days. We encourage you to visit our Facebook page and become our Facebook friend. Log on to anchoredintheword.com and follow the link to our Facebook page. Or you can always give us a call. Our phone number here at Anchored in the Word is 732-544-2225. That's 732-544-2225. And don't forget to place a marker in your Bibles and join us again as Pastor Bill continues teaching through the book of Revelation.